Ben Moore has been in love with bees for as long as anyone can remember. And as far as we can tell, the feeling is entirely mutual. Although he still sometimes feels the sting of his passion. Hang around, learn a little. It's as sweet as honey and always a buzz. It's the Ultimate Pollinators Podcast with Ben, his friends and associates, and of course, Ben's bees.
Hey everyone, Bees with Ben. Now, we've got a fantastic episode on this week talking about a special, unique product, Australian-made product. And I'm really excited about this one because I got two of them myself and we're going to hear all about them. And we're coming into winter and there's something that happens to that honey which can be rather, sometimes infuriating. You know, you got a bucket of honey and it goes rock solid candy, or if you've got in a drum, an IBC, well, I've got the person for you, the product for you. But we're going to be talking to Stuart Sutherland from Electrotherm. And thank you so much for your time, Stuart.
Pleasure. Good to be with you.
Awesome. Now, before we sort of jump into the products, let's get a bit of a backstory on Stuart. Where are you from?
Sure. Wales, originally, which is in the UK. Not everybody knows that. A lot of people know about New South Wales, but not South Wales. And I'm from the South Wales, the original.
South Wales. Now, do you speak Welsh? Because they've got a very unique
Yeah, they do. They do. And it's a good question. And if I'd listened more at school, I would speak Welsh. So I can, you know, I could manage a few phrases and a few lines from a few songs. I'm not going to sing them for you. No, is the short answer.
It's funny. I had to interview a Welsh guy and talking about bees. This is a few episodes ago. And his first name was Grufford, but it was there was extra F's in there, extra D's.
Yeah, that's right. The double D is a
V. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the L's, is, three L's is a K sound, if I remember.
And two L's is a yeah, there's a place name in South Wales called Llanelli, which has a lot of L's and is not easy to get your tongue around. But there is also a Llanelli in Victoria, actually. I haven't been there, but I've seen signposts for it, and I've often thought I should go there just to see how they pronounce it.
Interesting. There we go. It's absolutely. I've never been to Wales. I've been to a lot of parts of the UK, but it's looks absolutely stunning and beautiful.
It is. It is a beautiful place, and it is a beautiful language. When I say I don't speak it, I sort of wish I did, but you know, I had it. Like many people, had other things on my mind, other priorities at school.
Yes. And how long have you been in down under for, Stu?
Oh, 30 years.
30 years.
Yeah, I've spent more of my life here than I have in the UK, so I'm more Australian than Welsh these days.
Love it, absolutely love it. And your career, let's talk about, as I said before, we sort of jump into these awesome, fantastic products you sell. So your journey as regards to your career, what did you start off as?
Yeah, a little bit, you know, moved around, taking a few zigzags. I left school at 16 and became a carpenter, though I was more of a joiner. So I ended up in joinery workshops in the UK, making things like windows and stairs. We did a lot of renovation work for listed buildings, so things like Georgian and Edwardian terraced houses, which have to have the woodwork, the windows and doors all replaced to, you know, standard profiles or original moldings. We sort of specialized in those sorts of jobs. So that was the lion's share of the early part of my career. And I moved through the joinery industry to shop fitting and boat building and kitchen fitting and things like that.
Boat building?
Yeah, briefly. In South Africa, that was actually.
Oh,
that
wow.
Was in Johannesburg. I worked for a yacht building company. You know, that was all these aspects are separate worlds of their own. And, you know, quite fascinating. There's, that's one of those industries that you could go on forever and ever and ever and barely scratch the surface.
A little bit like bees.
Indeed, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
Exactly. And so now, regards to the business, so Electrotherm, which I'm going to put in the website in the show notes. So anyone listening, sort of jump in there. An awesome website. It's really, really good. As far as how long was the business running for? Because you took that over. You've bought the business.
I've just taken it over just 1 year ago, about now. It started originally in the late 90s. A guy called Mike Bell, who is a Frankston resident, he is an electrical engineer and a very clever and very inventive man. And he came up with applications for a certain heating technology, which is a lot of heating products have a wiggly wire, which is a resistance wire, which you might have seen in some things that if you've ever opened up some heating products, there's usually a curly wire in there, which gives off the heat. Ours is completely different. We use a carbon graphite element, which is sort of uniform. It looks like a black cloth. This technology was originally developed, interesting story, I think, to go in the leading edge of the wingtips of planes.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And it was developed to prevent ice from building up on the lid, on the wing. And since that product has been, you know, was developed, although it was developed for that purpose, it has been used in many and varied applications since then. And Mike started making, you know, a range of heating products using that element because it has great advantages over the resistance wire sort of format.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Fascinating. So you took over the business a year ago. Now, let's sort of talk, you know, about the products because I've got two of them. I've got a heater jacket for an IBC and I've got a heater jacket for the old school 44-gallon drums. Actually, it's been custom-made, which we're going to talk about soon. Mm-hmm. Now, as for beekeepers, you know, it can be so, so annoying. You've harvested some honey at the start of spring or summertime, and it gets to about now, May, temperatures are dropping. You might have it in the garage, a honey room or something like that. And obviously it sets like a brick. Now, the problem is how do you get that out? You know what I mean? And it can be really tricky. So Electrotherm and yourself and the team make this awesome range of products. You know, and they're really, truly amazing. As I said, I've got two of them. I love the fact, Stu, that they're Australian made. You can actually see where they're getting made, which is, you know, assembled there. Absolutely fantastic to see. They're in you're in Seaford, which is just on a little bit out of Melbourne, a little bit, half an hour, 45 minutes.
Easily accessed by the freeway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Eastern Freeway. That's right.
Yeah.
So the product's absolutely fantastic. So now talk us through, because we had this conversation the other day, about, you know, different applications. You know, obviously honey is a really good one, and we're going to talk specifically about the products, obviously, you know, how they, you mentioned about how they heat, but obviously with a thermostat and so forth. You had this really fantastic story about this cosmetic factory.
Look, the heater jacket and the other thing that goes with it in a lot of cases is our product, which we call radiant heaters. And they go underneath the IBC. They go in the voids of the pallet where the fork tines go, and they radiate heat upwards. But the heater jacket is really four separate heaters heating all four sides of the IBC, and then the lid itself is insulated but not heated. There's no advantage to putting heating element in the lid because the hot air goes upwards, and that's not doing anything for the honey. But the heater jacket, although we are very popular in the honey industry, it is used in a very wide range of applications because any semi-solid product or liquid product which gets very thick and highly viscous when it's cold, you know, the heater jacket is the solution to that problem. So, and it's fascinating for us because although we make these heater jackets, we get an insight into a wide range of industries and applications. And one of the ones was, there's a company called Eco Pharmaceuticals. I don't know if I'm allowed to name that company on the podcast, but I just have.
No, not a problem at all.
And they're in, I think they're in Moorabbin. And they make things like, you know, skin creams and sunscreens and things like that, moisturizers, none of which I use actually as much as I probably should. But, you know, they fall into the same category as honey. If they get very cold, it's hard to move the stuff. Inefficient, at least, at the very least. So they use our jackets as well. You know, I've been there. We've made a few custom custom jackets for that company because they have a lot of stainless steel hoppers and sort of cone-shaped tanks, and they do various experiments as well as their production there. And it's interesting to visit that company because there's a whole protocol, not only to signing in, but to going through the barriers to get to where the work is actually done. You go into a sort of a room, which is, some people call them a mud room, but it's like an intermediary room where you almost sanitize yourself. So you get dressed up in a hairnet and a white suit and booties. And then when you step through that door from that changing room, you step into, you know, a virtually sterile environment. Everything is stainless steel. Everything is, it looks like a, you know, like a where a surgeon would do his business, you know, an operating theater.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, interesting, very interesting.
And so is the cosmetic industry, is that your biggest sort of customer, that industry?
No, it isn't. For the heater jackets, we probably are some, the biggest customers for us would be between the honey industry and the industrial chemistry industry.
Okay.
So industrial chemicals encompass a wide range of products, but the most sort of easily identifiable and understood ones are things like epoxy resins and polyurethanes and adhesives, glues. So the jackets end up, you know, heating all those things for the very same reasons as why they're useful for the glue. Just that it becomes so viscous, it's literally hard to manage. You know, when it gets chilly, which we get a fair share of down here.
Yes, yeah, it's already started in Melbourne, isn't it? I think it's getting down to 8 degrees tonight.
Yeah, I never used to like the cold weather, but since owning this business, I've gained a new appreciation for the cold weather. It's good for business.
That's it. Actually, that's a very good point. I like that. And that would be so true. And the actual, so we sort of mentioned about the heating element. What's the actual outer material? What's that made from, Stu?
Yeah. We Mike, the guy who designed the things, I work with him on the development of a few of the products. Not as much as I would have liked to, but I did get an insight into the way he did things. And he was an interesting guy to witness developing a product because he would come to the challenge with his engineering mindset, and he would be very systematic and very procedural in his approach to everything. And what wasn't on Mike's, you know, what wasn't in his vocabulary was cutting a corner. Mike was very, very thorough and very, you know, stringent about the quality of every product in the final product and every procedure. So the outside material is a PVC coated. It's called a PVC coated warp knit polyester.
Oh, okay.
Which is a bit of a mouthful. It's just a very tough fabric. It comes in different weights. So the way that's measured is in grams per square meter.
Okay.
And we use a heavy fabric on the outside because it's very durable, wear resistant. And we use a lighter fabric on the inside because it offers less resistance to the heat transfer. But the main specification of that fabric, and both the inner and the outer fabric meet the same levels there, is that they'd be very heat, you know, able to tolerate the heat, because the jackets get up to, well, the thermostats are 100 degrees, but you don't get to 100 degrees on the jacket. You get to about 90 degrees on the jacket. That's still pretty damn hot.
Oh, it is, exactly.
And you know, for the fabric to survive that is no small challenge. So, you know, a lot of work has been done in selecting the appropriate materials for these things. But some of our jackets, many of our customers have had them for well over 5 years. And, you know, some of them come back to us to be repaired when they're more than 5 years old. And that's something that we do as well. We offer a full service backup. So, you know, if something goes wrong, we can fix it.
Well, the ones that need to be repaired, they must have been playing with forklifts and bashing them up because...
Some of them come back. That's right. Some of them come back and they don't look pretty, and some of them, you know, some aren't repairable.
Yes, of course. Yeah. And you'd really...
Some of them get a tough life.
That's right. I was going to say, you'd really have to build them up, you know, run forklift tines into them and all sorts because they're really fantastic. And they've got a good amount of weight. So they're nice and heavy without being like too heavy, you know what I mean? You don't have to strain.
They're a solid, chunky product, but they're manageable.
Exactly. And just sort of painting a bit of a visual picture for the listener, say the IBC jacket, so that's got four parts with zip up. And those zips are amazing. I know those really...
Heavy-duty, ultra-heavy-duty YKKs, indeed.
Exactly, yeah. Ultra is the key word.
Yeah, that's part of the, that's part of the evolution of the product. The first versions of this product were made... well over 20 years ago, not probably close to 25 years ago. And, you know, Mike has been on a journey of continuous improvement, and that's, you know, we're improving that. We're maintaining that that philosophy because, you know, there's however good and however refined the thing is, there's room for improvement.
Yes. Yeah, that's the truth.
So we're keeping on that. There are always new products coming out and better versions of existing products. So, you know, with the evolution of all the components, the evolution of our product should be parallel to that.
Yeah, love it.
So that's what we're working towards.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I should sort of jump in and just say, you know, for the listeners, so I've got a IBC jacket and a drum. Now, with the IBC, so obviously it's going to vary depending on ambient temperatures, obviously, but recently had some red gum honey in the IBC, so it was about 1400 kilos, rock solid, like a brick. With the heater jacket on, to reconstitute in a liquid form and still keeping it, you know, raw and, you know, under that sort of 38 degrees, it took 4 days.
Okay.
Yeah, and I do have one of those radiant heaters that go underneath. So I've got one of those, fantastic. And I find, unless it's middle of June or July, I find I don't have to use that. But, you know, to speed that process up, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But just a jacket works an absolute treat. With the drum, I just had the same thing. It was probably a day and a half with the drum heater. You know, it was crystallized honey and...
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. It was blackberry honey.
And that was recently, was it, Ben?
That was recently, And it was fantastic to know. Now, I wasn't aware of this, but those, remember, it's not just obviously a set products that Stuart and the team make. If you want something custom, and I actually got this custom, so I bought a Liga 400 kilo tank from the amazing guys down at Red Parves in Melbourne here. And obviously it's a little bit different size to a standard, the old school 44 gallon drums. So, and Stuart and his team made me a custom jacket, which was suit that, so I can actually warm up a smaller quantity of honey as I need it. So that's a very important point to sort of for the listeners as well.
An easy project for us, Ben, because the drum that you bought was not that far removed in size from the ubiquitous 205 liter drum, which in the old money, we used to call it 44-gallon drum, and it was just a bit easier to get hit around. your 400-kilo drum, which looks like a nicely made product in itself, stainless steel always looks good. Not that much bigger than a 44-gallon drum. So for us, it was a matter of just customizing the jacket. The elements that we use in a standard drum, we could use in your product. So. An easy modification, but again, that's the advantage of making the thing, you know, locally, and in situ in our factory. We can, you know, if you want it a bit bigger or a bit smaller or a bit of a different shape, we can accommodate those variations. It's not too big a deal. We have had some requests for some very complicated geometrical shapes, which are a challenge.
Okay.
But in this case, this was a drum, and that's the beauty of having the thing made there. Our machinist in the factory has worked with us for 15 years. He's a young man in his 70s, and he works like a demon. There is nothing that you can show him a picture of that he can't make a jacket to fit. Well, he's a tailor.
Yes.
So I guess the things that we produce are, you know, a relatively simple shape compared to the human, compared to a human body. But he does a great job, and he makes short work of just about any project you can throw at him.
Let's give Harry a shout out.
That's Harry. Yeah, that's yes. Harry.
We'll give a big shout out.
The legendary Harry.
Yes,
yeah.
Big shout out to Harry, because it's
indeed.
Absolutely love it. And so, and also too, you're working on a smaller sort of heater. Did we sort of like a 50 kilo? You're working on that?
Yeah, look, we've already got a jacket for the 25 liter drum, because okay. They're very popular. They're both the round ones and the square ones. They're very popular, especially in adhesives. A lot of workshops by gluing that in that drum. And the same thing, you know, emptying the thing out in winter. What often happens, which I've personal experience of, is that you turn the tap, you know, to empty the glue, and it's going so slowly that you walk away while the bottle is filling, and then you forgot you put it on, and then you come back to a puddle of glue on the floor. So yeah, look, we make a jacket which the same jacket fits on a round one or a square one, which is a bit of a trick, but it's a flexible jacket, and it accommodates both shapes. So you know, as there's more products on the market, we're looking to make more products to suit them. I know, and that company that you mentioned, who made your stainless steel drum, Liga, was it?
Liga, yeah.
Tell very you. Nice looking yes. product, and they make a range of drums, don't they? From you know, from very small to really quite you know, really quite large. I don't know if yours is the biggest or
yeah,
do they go bigger than yours?
I believe, yeah, they do. I think Liga there is a bigger one, but it's on like a stand, and that I needed the flat. Yeah, flat base to sit on a pallet. So,
they're
fantastic. They're being an Italian product in stainless steel is
very well made. Very well made product. So, you look, we're interested in making jackets to suit all of those. You know, we with a change of business, we're looking to expand and to you know, develop the range. If it's a popular drum size, we want to make a jacket for it.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah,
well, that's fantastic. Now, as I said before, I'm going to put in the show notes the website, electrotherm, that's one word, .com.au. I'll put that in the show notes. So also, too, there's a beekeeping conference expo coming up. So you'll be there, Stu.
Indeed, in Bendigo, early July. I don't know the exact date. I think it's the 5th or the 7th, around there.
Yes, yeah.
First week of July, I believe. Yeah, look, we've... it's something we haven't done before, but it's been talked about. You know, Mike talked about doing this sort of thing where, you know, we just take a few products out to a show, and it gives us an opportunity to meet people and speak to people and speak about, you know, how they use our products already or how they would like to use our products. It's good to get feedback from the people who use the things. Gives us you know, information direct from the user. We're in a situation where we can learn, you know, we want to learn from our customers. We want to listen to, you know, the feedback and the needs that they have to allow us to keep on working on the thing, you know. And we've got so many customers in the honey industry, and a lot of customers who just keep coming back and coming back, which is great for us. And that's fantastic. We want to, continue to support that in every way, but also to, as I say, to listen to any information we can get, which helps us in, you know, in the continuous development of the product.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Absolutely love it. And so as I said, Bendigo, what I'll do is I'll put in the show notes the dates to go check it out, because you'll have a display there. So you'll have an IBC.
We'll have a display. We'll have an IBC heater jacket and a few drum heater jackets, because we make a vertical and a horizontal drum heater jacket, one which goes on a tilt cradle, and a few other sundries as well, because we also make, other than jackets, we also make, you know, metal heaters like your radiant heater. We make a drum base heater as well that the 44-gallon drum can stand on. As you probably know, that they're not lightweight, these drums, when they're full of honey.
No,
I think
exactly.
They're up around, they're getting on for 300 kilos.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
And so, yeah, we make a base heater which can withstand that weight. You know, it's about 3 mil steel, and it's just a very simple looking product. It's a square metal product, which is about 600 mil square, and you just stick your drum on there, plastic or metal drum.
Okay, plastic drum. Okay.
And of course, there's either one. It will, it has the advantage of capturing the fact that the hot air rises. So heating something at the base is the very best thing. You probably noticed yourself, if you've got warm feet, everything feels good.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, floor heaters in like Scandinavia, that's a big thing. And
exactly, heated flooring in houses is luxurious and very effective. And that, in fact, glad you mentioned that, because I probably should mention that in Europe, the heating elements that we use is used for underfloor heating very widely. So there are rolls of, the stuff is like a cloth, as I said, and it comes on a roll, literally. And you can roll this stuff out between the joists or between the bearers in a timber floor. They're connected up and, you will have the most luxurious underfoot heating. Fantastic.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Now, for the listeners, it's important to know that it's not sponsored at all. I'm all about supporting beekeepers, supporting amazing people, making amazing things and doing incredible things as well. And we're talking today. Stu said, if you mention the podcast to Stuart, so you get a 5% discount.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're all about promoting the product and promoting the industry and promoting your podcasts too. We want to generate more business and get the product used as widely as possible, spread the word, and let there be warm honey.
Yeah, warm honey, that's right, because that's warm honey runs well. That is indeed. So true. And the other thing is too, for the listeners, if you're looking for something custom made, so I recently had to get my an Easy Loader, which is like a crane on the back of a truck for moving just a little truck for moving hives. And I just got it serviced, had to drive up to Ballina, which I'll sort of talk about shortly. But it was, I'm sort of sitting out in the weather, the crappy weather. And Stuart and the team made me this amazing cover. It was, four zips on the side, so it looks absolute smart. So it's not sitting out in the weather. So you may have, something a little bit different, Someone wants something custom, It's give Stuart and the team on Electrotherm a shout out. So absolutely love your product, Stuart. That was
thank you.
Fantastic.
Happy to look at any challenge.
Yeah, absolutely love it. Well, Stuart, that was fantastic. It's a really brilliant episode. I really enjoyed that. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Ben. Pleasure to speak to you as always.
No worries at all. You take care and we'll catch up soon.
We'll do. Look forward to it.
Bye.
Cheers, Ben.
Bye.
Thanks, man. Bye.
What an amazing product. And it was so great, sort of talking to Stu, because we can see he's got an advert in the Australian Beekeeping magazine, which is a great article, but actually hearing the person or people behind the actual product, I absolutely love that. And it really is. Now, it's not cheap, you've got to bear that in mind, but you buy once, you cry once, it's going to last a long, long time. Like, really, we're talking a long time, because they're absolutely really well made. And it's important for those with the honey, you sort of got, there is a thermostat there. Now, it's not a thermostat, and Stu's been working on, digital thermostat and so forth. It's more of a gauge to know sort of your temperature of the honey. So, you can have it down on low to actually, break that, crystallization, and that's what I do, just so you can actually pour it, is kind of the key. And once the temperature of honey gets at 30, 35 degrees, which is inside a beehive anyway, it's not going to denature all those good stuff, those enzymes and things. It is absolutely perfect. You also should mention, you've got to be careful you don't obviously cook the honey, because if you just left that on, go on a weekend sort of bender or a holiday or something like that, and it cranked on high, you've got that issue. And it's going to get hot, and you've got that potential to burn honey. So, and once again, as we sort of mentioned before, the ambient air temperature is going to affect that. So, and I just love talking to people with good products and sharing that knowledge, It's a really, really good product. So don't forget, if you talk to Stuart or send him an email, just mention the podcast and you get a 5% discount. So, and it's not sponsored. I reached out to Stuart to have a chat. I've been buying his IBC one for a couple of years now. Just recently got a drum one. I mentioned, got that cover made for my Easy Loader. So, yeah, it's not sponsored at all. It's just, you know, sharing the love, the knowledge of, you know, great people and great products. Hopefully you enjoyed that episode. And don't forget, if you want to hear about someone, you know, where I've got some, you know, lined up, it's just slowing off for me for work a little bit now, you know, this cold weather, cold mornings getting nippy, it's nice. So I'm going to be punching out some lots of episodes. But if you want to hear someone, you know, shoot me through an email or shoot me through a text message on 0437 077 92, and, you know, shoot that through. And if you've got someone, an idea, or, you know, someone's number you want to hear, because this is about you as the listener, as the beekeeper. And well, actually, I should mention what else I've been up to. You know, this is there's a lot of beekeepers there running, you know, from, you know, 10, 20, 50, 100 hives. And this is what I do over winter, all right? And I wouldn't call it a trick, but what I do during winter is, because it backs off with work and I've got spare time, is I start scouring, looking for bee sites. And I recently found one out near Yay, and it looks really, really promising. It's near Yay. Beekeepers and their beekeeping sites are a little bit like fishermen and or fisherwomen who don't want to give up their site, won't even tell you. But it's so I look at really promising, really good. So I start going out there, I'm looking at trees and, you know, looking at their flower buds and seeing what's around, and I'll go for a drive somewhere and turn it a bit of a, you know, a bit of a day out. So a little trick, because sometimes we can wait too long, and all of a sudden we're busy, you know, we're working those bees and, you know, looking throughout those seasons, you know, the spring and summer and the autumn, you know, where do we put our bees and moving them and so forth. So that's a little something I start sort of doing now, and little thing that I get up to. So hope you enjoyed it, and don't forget, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and take care of those bees. Bye for now.